Hello and welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Brian Kennedy, and we begin the program with a look at the latest news. President Václav Klaus said on Monday he would not accept the resignations of the four ministers who have given notice in recent days, at least until it becomes clear exactly which other ministers intend to remain in the cabinet. The Minister of Information Technology, Vladimir Mlynář, tendered his resignation on Saturday, following the results of a no-confidence vote in Prime Minister Stanislav Gross's government. Three other ministers, namely the Ministers of Foreign Affairs, the Environment and Transportation, resigned early last week when their party, the Christian Democrats, withdrew from the governing coalition in protest over Prime Minister Gross's refusal to step down following the release of controversial information about his personal finances and the business dealings of his wife. Mr. Mlynář, for his part, a member of the center-right Freedom Union, said he would not remain in a government that relied on the tacit support of the communists. Mr. Gross survived that no-confidence vote only because the communist deputies abstained from it. Mr. Gross, meanwhile, has promised to call for a parliamentary vote of confidence in his minority government, but a date for that vote has not yet been set. President Václav Klaus told journalists on Monday that calls to link the vote with the passage of certain legislation would amount to an unacceptable delay in holding the vote. French police have begun questioning several people after seizing 100 kilograms of the Czech-made plastic explosive Semtex hidden in a truck in a northern French town. The operation on Saturday was part of an investigation into organized crime. Semtex has been used by terrorist groups, but the French prosecutor's office said it believes that the explosives seized at the weekend were sold to criminal gangs. The Czech Republic has among the highest number of women in the workplace in the whole of the European Union, Daily Pravo reports, with some 44% of Czech women of working age now employed or in business for themselves. Only Finland, Lithuania, and Romania have a higher percentage of women in the workplace. Now for some sad news. One of the Czech Republic's most celebrated illustrators, Helena Zmatlíková, died on Monday. She was 81 years old and had worked on more than 200 children's books. Among her best-known works were the illustrations for the Palacek series, a kind of Czech Tom Thumb. And finally, the weather. Light rain is expected throughout much of the country over the coming days, with skies clearing up by Thursday. I'm Brian Kennedy. That's all the news for now.
Tune to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, today with me, Pavla Horáková. Czech worshippers, along with a billion Roman Catholics worldwide, are mourning the death of Pope John Paul II. Prime Minister Stanislav Gross has promised to call a parliamentary vote of confidence in his cabinet less than a week after losing his majority in the lower house. And the current political situation in the Czech Republic will also be discussed in today's Talking Point with Dita Asiedu. That and more coming up, so please stay with us. Church bells tolled across the Czech Republic on Sunday to commemorate the passing of the first Slav in history to lead the Roman Catholic Church. Thousands of worshippers in the Czech Republic are praying for the late Pope John Paul II, and requiem masses are being held in churches and cathedrals. Black flags will fly from church buildings until the day of the funeral, which will be attended by the Czech President Václav Klaus and senior church officials. Cardinal Miloslav Vlk will be the only Czech among the 117 cardinals who will choose a new pope.
On sám zažil i náš režim komunistický na své kůži, protože mu vůbec nedovolili.
Coming from a communist country, Pope John Paul II had first-hand knowledge of the regime, so he understood our situation, was able to draw on that experience and act accordingly. When asked after his election what his church policy would be towards Eastern European countries, he said, certainly not naive.
Východním zemím, tak řekl, určitě ne naivní.
Historians agreed that one of the Pope's most lasting legacies will be his role in the fall of communism in Eastern Europe in 1989. The former dissident and Czech president Václav Havel issued the following statement. We felt that not only had an excellent man with great charisma been chosen to head the Catholic Church, but also a person who would fundamentally influence the future fate and the political order of the current world. Only 4 months after the Velvet Revolution of 1989, John Paul II flew to Czechoslovakia to hail the collapse of communism with President Václav Havel.
Pane prezidente republiky, panové zástupci sněmovny a vlády, milované bratře kardinále, spolubratři...
Almost 15 years to the day after his first official trip to Czechoslovakia, John Paul II, the first Slav pope who helped overthrow communism in Eastern Europe, died in Rome at the age of 84. And now we bring you some more reactions to the pope's death from the Czech Republic. In communist days, Jan Kofroň was for many years involved in the Czechoslovak underground church, and he's now secretary to the Prague Bishop Václav Malý, a former dissident himself. Jan Kofroň talked to Rosie Johnston about the Czech Republic's reaction to the death of Pope John Paul II.
I was witness to many expressions of compassion, of feeling. In this context, perhaps a Czech proverb is very nice. The height of the tree is to be recognized as soon as it is fallen. And I think it is quite visible. This morning, I was given an email message of a brilliant woman who told me her son, who never had prayed for the Pope yesterday, which is very, very interesting impetus, I think.
And what was the Pope's relationship with the Czech Republic?
He visited this country very, very soon after the reshuffle. He came in the spring of 1990, and he was very nicely accepted by all the nation. Among his first words were appreciation of the courage of people, of groups under the communist regime.
And at that time, did he help the Czechoslovak underground church?
As a matter of fact, this branch of the church started under Paul VI. And what I have to underline is the fact that this was really a clandestine church. That means the level of secrecy was very, very deep. And this is why there could not be realized such immediate contacts to John Paul II. However, he was a supporter to us. We have been praying for him.
Jan Kofroń was talking there to Rosie Johnston. Now, Poland, the Pope's homeland, is in a state of national mourning, having lost a great symbol of the nation. But here in the Czech Republic, the situation is very different. Even though John Paul II was a popular figure here, the news of his death has, by and large, not been received with great emotion. Although the Roman Catholic Church is the biggest church in the Czech Republic, this is a largely secular country, and when we went out into the streets of Prague to gauge reaction, most people we spoke to were matter-of-fact and even detached in their view of the Pope's death.
I'm not a religious man, so I don't care.
I don't feel any special feelings, because I'm not Christian, so...
For me, I'm also not religious. For me, it's a death of a man. It's a pity, but I don't feel nothing special.
I think he was a very important person. It's not something very personally important for me.
For some people, he was an important person for Christians, but I think that usually, you know, the media and all this make a big fuss about this.
A few views there from the streets of Prague. Now, Radio Prague's Martin Mikule spoke to Father Piotr Krzysztofiak, a Polish priest living in the Czech Republic, about the differences of Czechs and Poles in their relation to John Paul II.
The mentality of Poles and Czechs is different. I think that Czechs are more reserved generally, not only towards the Pope, but in every area of the life. Poles are much, much more emotional. You can see it in the families, you can see it everywhere. So I'm not surprised that Czechs are also a little bit more reserved towards the Pope. In this case, what happened last few days. But it doesn't mean that they didn't love him on Saturday evening. the Cardinal Velk has invited everybody to the cathedral for the prayer for the Pope. It was the first time during my 7 years when I am in Czech Republic when I saw the cathedral full of the people.
I know this is a very broad question, but just briefly maybe, can you summarize what is the difference between Czechs and Poles in terms of religion?
That's a difficult question. Simply speaking, the mentality is different. The Poland is absolutely different country from the point of the faith. As you know, more than 90% are Catholics. So that's also the difference. There is only 30% of Catholics here in Czech Republic. The history and the attitude of the Poles towards Catholicism and towards Rome is also absolutely different. So that's a little bit funny. We are neighbors, Czech and Poles, but practically that two worlds are absolutely different.
How did Pope John Paul II view the Czech? What was his relationship to Czech people? Did it make any difference that he was coming from a culturally close country?
I think that he understood the situation here in Czech Republic very well. He visited Slovakia very often. You know, surely he was very interested in everything concerning Czechoslovakia, Czech people. The Poles are grateful to Czechs for Saint Wojciech. So in a certain way, in Poland, you can very often hear that Czechs are our brothers. I don't hear it very often in Czech Republic, yeah. But I think that it's also expressed the attitude of the Pope. He really understood the Czech as brothers. So I'm sure that his attitude towards Czech was much, much more warm than towards other nations.
Father Piotr Krzysztofiak was talking to Radio Prague's Martin Mikule. Now, the news from the Vatican has been somewhat overshadowing the latest developments on the Czech political scene, where the crisis in the government is showing no sign of abating.
Dámy a pánové, považuji za nutné rychle vyřešit vzniklou situaci tak, aby došlo k ukončení.
Prime Minister Stanislav Gross telling a group of journalists, among them Radio Prague's Dieter Asiedu, on Sunday evening that his minority government will seek a vote of confidence in parliament. The decision came under huge pressure from President Václav Klaus. Dieter is with me in the studio now. Now, Dieter, what does Mr. Gross's latest announcement mean?
Well, I guess I should first explain that since Thursday last week, the internal makeup of the government has changed dramatically. On Thursday, the Christian Democrats pulled out of the ruling coalition, leaving just the main party, the Social Democrats, and the smaller Freedom Union. On Friday, after the government narrowly survived a no-confidence vote in Parliament, and that's only thanks to the far left in the form of the communists who abstained from the vote, the Freedom Union said they would pull out too, unless the entire cabinet resigned to be replaced by new ministers.
So this means that, at the moment, the government is a minority government of the Social Democrats and the Freedom Union with a mere 80 seats in the 200-seat Chamber of Deputies. Where does the vote of confidence come in?
Well, after it became clear on Friday that the government could only survive with the support of the communists, President Klaus, who's the honorary chairman of the right-wing opposition Civic Democrats, made quite a clever move by declaring he would not appoint any new ministers until Prime Minister Gross assured him of parliamentary support through a vote of confidence. Although the Prime Minister is not bound to this under the Constitution, he is well aware that the President can draw out the appointment for as long as he likes, and that is why he's calling for the vote of confidence.
And do you think he'll get it?
That's far from clear at this stage, but if he does, it will once again be thanks to the communists. Much to the irritation of other parties, they're relishing their newfound influence, and they've said that they consider a minority government of the Social Democrats as the lesser of two evils, compared with the possibility of the right-wing Civic Democrats coming to power, of course. But at this stage, we just don't know how they'll vote.
Thanks, Dieter. And Dieter will be back in Talking Point later in the programme, in which she will look at this topic in more detail. But before that, let's hear the latest Czech sports news with Ian Willoughby.
First today is ice hockey and the semi-finals of the Extraliga playoffs, where reigning champions Hamays Lyn have pulled off a remarkable comeback. At one point they were 3-1 down on games to Vítkovice in the best-of-seven series, and just one defeat from being knocked out. But they clawed their way back game by game until Friday evening, when they matched up a dramatic 4-1 win over Vítkovice in the final game of the series. The hero of the game was Petr Čajánek, who scored a hat-trick for the South Moravian team. But there was huge controversy after Friday's game, when Vítkovice captain Pavel Kubina, incensed by some questionable decisions, had to be dragged away from referee Petr Bolina by his teammates. Kubina went so far as to accuse the referee of being bribed, and Bolina says he's considering suing the player for slander. Meanwhile, Zlín prepare for their final series against Pardubice, who beat Liberec 4-1 on games in the semis. The opening game of the final series is on Tuesday. Football now, and runaway league leaders Sparta Prague were once again struck by the curse of Příbram on Saturday. Sparta hadn't won at Příbram in 4 years ahead of Saturday's encounter, but any hopes of finally beating their bogey team were dashed in a 3-1 defeat, the Prague side's first under coach Jaroslav Hřebík. But even still, Sparta are 15 points clear in the league. Second are Teplice, who beat Brno 3-1 at the weekend. At the other end of the table, bottom club Česká Budějovice, who only have 15 points to show for 21 games, scored a valuable 2-1 win over Dernjevice in their first match under manager František Cipro. On the international stage, former Czech captain Pavel Nedvěd will be in action against his old international teammates Milan Baroš and Vladimír Šmicer on Tuesday, as Nedvěd's Juventus play Liverpool in the Champions League quarter-final first leg. Meanwhile, there's some speculation that Baroš may leave Liverpool for Spain's Valencia in the summer. In basketball, things aren't going well for the only Czech in the NBA, Jiří Welsh. Welsh, who is 25, joined the Cleveland Cavaliers after falling from favour at the Boston Celtics. Since then, however, the player has suffered a crisis of confidence and is spending a lot of time on the bench. But Cleveland coach Brendan Malone says he's confident it's only a matter of time before Welsh comes good again. And finally, Czech Olympic champion Aleš Valenta has just undergone a spine operation. The freestyle aerial skier is expected to be able to resume training in 3 or 4 months' time. That's all the sport for today.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, and as promised, we now move on to Talking Point, in which Dieter Asieda looks at the current state of the Czech government crisis.
At
the moment, in the current situation, I don't feel that I'm permitted to leave, because we have unfinished work which I'll try to complete. I think this is a good reason why the government should continue.
Dobrý důvod pro to, aby vláda mohla pokračovat.
Prime Minister Stanislav Gross speaking before Parliament on Friday ahead of a no-confidence vote, which his government narrowly survived. But on Friday, it was clear that they would only be able to stay in power in the future with the tacit support of the communists. So how did Mr. Gross get into this situation? A quick recap of the last 2 months. Back in February, a leading Czech newspaper asked Prime Minister Gross to explain how he was able to make a 1.2 million crown, or $50,000 down payment, for Prague flat back in 1999, when it was clear he couldn't have saved that much money from his official salary. The Prime Minister gave a number of contradictory explanations. A few days later, news broke that his wife too was involved in business transactions with a friend who was under investigation for insurance and tax fraud and owned property housing a Prague brothel. So that's when the Christian Democrats, one of the governing coalition partners, intervened and called on Mr. Gross to resign, claiming the affair over his personal finances was damaging the reputation of the government. But Mr. Gross, backed by his Social Democrats, refused to go. That's when the Christian Democrats decided to walk out. But following the Communists' Rescue Act on Friday, the Freedom Union, the other coalition partner of Mr. Gross's Social Democrats, said it would go too if the entire cabinet did not resign. Freedom Union Information Technology Minister Vladimir Mlynář could not bear the government's growing dependence on the communists and decided to resign and leave the government immediately.
The political situation has changed. I was a member of a government that was based on the support of 101 non-communist MPs in Parliament when I promised to serve this government. But the situation has changed dramatically, and that is why I've decided to resign immediately.
But even the Social Democrats, some who have openly supported the Prime Minister during his struggle to stay in power, are having trouble with the current situation, as party policy has been not to cooperate with the communists. Education Minister Petra Buzková.
I think it's a very unfortunate development. I've expressed my view on this issue many times, but I'm afraid I will not be able to tell you more about what I plan to do about it until I have spoken to the Prime Minister.
Unlike Mrs. Buzková, party colleague Lubomír Zaorálek, who is also the Speaker of Parliament, does not see any cause for concern.
It seems to me it's clear that for both of parties, social and communist, there is no interest to support similar proposals. I'm convinced that what is the real program, left program in our country, social democratic program, not this isolationist national conservatism program of Communist Party. We have no tendency and willingness to accept these changes. We have to create new methods of moving in Chamber of Deputy now, but I am convinced that we are able to find the way how to communicate in Parliament with all other parliamentary parties and to keep our coalition program.
So how does the ordinary Czech feel about the government crisis, which has been dragging on for 2 months now?
Sometimes I feel it's kind of joke. They should be ashamed because it's really embarrassing what they do. I don't agree that communists are in parliament or in government. They shouldn't be there. It should be illegal. I don't want to watch it anymore because I don't care now.
I really don't feel very good about it because I think like it's a picture of the society and this is not very good for the psychology of the people. They lose faith.
Well, I'm getting sort of tired of it. It's been going on for a long time. I think many of the things that happened had been prepared before the crisis occurred, but it's part of the political process and we'll just have to wait for it to develop.
So has the government crisis come to an end, or should we brace ourselves for more change on the political scene? Political commentator Vladimira Dvořáková thinks the government's decision to call a confidence vote was a very clever move to carry through with as much party policy as possible without the communists getting in the way.
Well, it's very difficult to explain the situation, but maybe the decision of the Prime Minister to ask for the vote of confidence is the decision somehow to postpone the solution of the crisis. Because to ask for the vote of confidence, this does not mean that it will be next week. If they will connect that with some law, that's quite important. It's necessary to prepare the law, and it can take 1 month or 2 months, maybe. It would depend on the atmosphere, on the pressure of the Prime Minister. And in that time, there will be possible to solve some problems, for instance, to finish with the privatization of telecom and some other questions that are important for social democrats. They will be able to finish these tasks of the government.
So you think that if the government would hold a vote of confidence now, it would probably not get it?
I think that they will not get it, or it would be very difficult to get it, because they will have to make some compromise with the Communist Party. And this is something that a great part of social democrats doesn't want to accept. So this can be the problem, internal problems of social democrats who wouldn't like to have a strong support of the communists. Communists will use that to strengthen their position, but they would like to really put some things on the agenda of the executive.
It's the Social Democrats who only really have 70 seats in Parliament. With the Freedom Union, it's, I think, another 10, so 80 seats in Parliament. And the only party who would support them is the communists. So we could say that the communists are adopting a very clever strategy to indirectly influence decision-making.
Yes, I think that they are using the strategy that's strengthening the position of their party and the relevancy of their party. And those who somehow made this crisis, and this crisis was done by all the political parties, they participated in that, they knew that. And in some sense, maybe there is a question to strengthen the position of the communists, to weaken the position of the social democrats. And in such a political or party system, there would be a long-run perspective for the government of right-wing parties, because communists are limited in the possibility how many votes they can get. They can get maybe 30%. But because of this communist heritage, they have no chance to be the party that can form an executive power. So from this point of view, if there would be weakened the position of social democrats and the position on left side will be occupied by the communists, there will be for a long time a strong perspective for right-wing oriented political parties to govern here without alternative.
And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today, so thanks for listening and bye-bye from Prague.
Když si tehdy přinesla na talířku křupky, musel jsem se zasmát tomu, co má být dál. Ta křupavá srdíčka a zapálená svíčka mi prozradili, že zas nejde o víc než o zabijaný rituál. Tak to má být a sklenku vína na dobrou noc, k tomu pár vět o tom, jak zácný jsem host, tak to má být. Když tma nad městem převezme moc a chce se žít, žít víc než jen dost. Pozbíral jsem sirky, pytlík na tabák, dopil jsem a vstal, že bude líp to dnes vzdát. A ty jsi mi sáhla dlaní na čelo, v tu chvíli moc ti to slušelo. A navíc venku trochu pršelo, a tak jsem zůstal a rád. To se přece nedělá, chtít víc než dá se dát, to není fér. Hrát podle vlastních pravidel, to není fér. Chtít jít, když je čas spát, chce se létat, létat i bez křídel. Pak jsem si skládal na stůl srdíčka, až mi z nich vyšla osmička. Hle, nekonečno ze dvou malých vypečených nul, a ty si bez váhání sáhla jen a špičku dovnitř otočila ven. A vzniklo v srdce z malých srdíček a já ho rychle propíchnul.